I brought my iPad because I want to read some verses from Romans 6, and I've written in it so much I can't read my own Bible. See what I mean? So, this is from Jeremiah 13:23. It says, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may you also do good, who are accustomed to do evil." Now what's the point in what he's saying? He's saying that you, or a person with dark skin, you just can't change the color of your skin because you'd like to. A leopard can't change its spots. That's kind of a saying that you hear people say a lot about, well, a leopard can't change its spots, therefore you can't change. I can hope I can change this iPad so I can see it. There we go. And what the Lord's saying here is that as a result of the fall, God's original plan for us, God's nature that he created us in his image, was spoiled. And the problem is that human beings can't do anything by their own willpower to change who they are, to change their nature. He says, just like a leopard can't change its spots, you can't change to where you can do good as a lifestyle, you who are accustomed to do evil. The result of the fall is not just that we were guilty of sin, and every one of us who are born, because Adam represented the whole human race, every one of us who are born guilty of Adam's sin. But not just guilty of Adam's sin, we also inherited his fallen nature. And every human being is born a slave to sin. It's not that you can't do something okay sometimes, but God says, apart from him, we can do nothing. And if we do anything apart from dependence on him, even if it may appear good to you, it's sin to God. There's a place in Romans that says, for all have sinned and missed the glory of God, fallen short of God's glory. And the word sin literally just means, the word means to miss the mark. It means to try the best you can, but no matter how much you try, you can't miss the mark. What you do, even if it appears good, doesn't come up to the glory of God. So every human being is born guilty of Adam's sin and then their own sin they've accumulated over the years, but they're also born with a sinful nature. And for the gospel, which means good news, to really being good news means that God must do something more than just forgive my sins so that I'll go to heaven one day. God wants me to have life. Jesus said that he might have life and have it more abundantly. So he had to come and change my nature, change who I am. This is what, very familiar passage of scripture. This is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if any person is in union with Christ, if you're a Christian, and that's what it means to be a Christian. There's only one place in all the Bible where Christians are referred to as Christians, and that's in the book of Acts, one time. Every place else in the Bible, over 300 times, when referencing a Christian, they're just referred to as people who are in Christ. They're in union with him. They're in Christ, therefore Christ is in them. And if anyone is in Christ, that person is a whole new creature, a whole new creation. And the old things passed away, and behold, new things have come. Now, I'll give you just a little bit. I don't mean to show off. I'm not showing off. I'm just grammar, because the Greek language is a little different than the English language. When he says old things passed away, that's a tense in the language the Bible was written in called aorist. And aorist is some reaction, most of the time in the past. Old things passed away. You are not the old man, the old self anymore. But behold, new things have come. That's in the perfect tense. And the perfect tense that God chose to write the Bible in, the New Testament, perfect tense means a completed action in the past, but with continual, everyday, present tense results. So he says, you've become a new creature because you're in Christ, a new creation, and the old is past, but the new is new, fresh, every day. You're still figuring it out. You're still discovering it. You're still practicing it. You're still having your mind renewed into who you now are in Christ. It says in 2 Peter that we've become partakers of the divine nature. As we've talked about a gazillion times in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says that he, the Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin on our behalf. He took the old that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. So God didn't just forgive your sins through the death of Christ. Through the resurrection of Christ, death and resurrection, what you once were was put to death and buried, and who you are now is in union with him, and you have a new nature. It's called the righteousness of God in Christ. You're a new you. The enemy wants us to think that we're still the old. How many times have I heard Christians say to me, quote almost that verse from Jeremiah that says, yeah, but I want to do good, but I'm doing better. It's just me. It is what it is. That's absolutely denying what the scripture says is true about you. He didn't leave you as you were. If Jesus left you as you were, but your sins are just forgiven, Christianity is just another philosophy. He came to change us, to transform us, again, that we might have life and have it more abundant here. This is the Romans 6 part that I'm just going to read, and I can't read from my Bible. Verse 10 of Romans 6 says, for the death that Jesus died, he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives now, he lives to God. So sin has no part. He took on the sin of the world. He became sin on our behalf. He became your sin on our behalf. He became your sinful nature. It didn't just say that he took on your sins. It says he became sin. He became our sinful nature. He became sinful Chuck, sinful Nancy, sinful Robin, sinful Bob, all of us. He became our fallen self and was crucified. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. Even so, just in the same way, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. The death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. Why? Because you're in Christ Jesus. His life to God is your life to God. His death to sin is your death to sin. You have the image of Christ nature in you. That's your new nature. You don't have the old nature anymore. The teaching that you have two natures is nonsense. It doesn't teach that in the Bible. We have a fallen body. There's this thing called the law of sin lives in our members. But your nature, God's given you a new heart. And that heart is in union with the heart of Christ. So sometimes I think about, so what does it mean alive to God? Well, the only way to know that is to compare what he says, that therefore consider yourselves dead to sin. What does it mean to be dead to sin? Now, I'm not saying that you can't sin. I'm saying that you're able to not sin. There's a difference. You with me? I'm not saying that you're not able to sin. I'm saying you're able to not sin because you're in Christ. So to be dead to sin means I'm dead to its what? Power. I'm dead to its voice. Sin, the law of sin, has the hiss of the serpent. Those things, those thoughts that come to you to do this or think this or say that, that's coming from the enemy through the law of sin that lives in your members. And you're dead to that. You're dead to its power. You're dead to its voice. Your now new mother tongue is God's voice. Dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. You're as alive to God in his reign and his power over you as Jesus is. So I want to just share this, and it's almost impossible to believe, but it's here. But we do have to start with what God believes about us, don't we? It doesn't start with what you believe about you, because what you believe about you is what the enemy tells you. Well, it's just who you are. It is what it is. You're just going to lose your temper sometimes, just the way it is. That's who you were. You weren't just forgiven for that. You were given a new nature to not act like that anymore, in union with Christ, his nature. So he goes on and he says, verse 17. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. That's your nature. That's your identity. You may feel like you're a slave to sin. That's a lie. It's a deception. What's the truth is that you are a slave to righteousness. What if we begin to believe that about ourselves? What if when we get tempted, we would go, whoa, I'm dead to that voice. I'm dead to that sin. Sin has no power over me. I'm in Christ, and I'm a slave to righteousness just like he is. Can't help myself. I got to be righteous. I got to act righteously. I'm a slave to righteousness. Slaves or slaves. And we know we have a choice, but the choice is that you don't have a choice. Verse 19, I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness. Verse 22, but now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God. Jesus is voluntarily enslaved to the will of his Father and the Holy Spirit, and the Father to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit to the Father and Jesus. It's a heart thing. It's not like, oh my gosh, I've been enslaved. That's a good thing. It's a volunteer slavery. It's a love enslavement to him. It's a prisoner of love. And here's the truth about you. It's important that this gets down inside of you. This is what God says about you. God wants you to be set free from a sin consciousness. For you are dead to sin. Okay, I don't have to have a sin consciousness all the time anymore. I'm alive to God in Christ Jesus. His relationship to righteousness and his relationship to sin is your relationship to righteousness and your relationship with sin. And what if instead of expecting to sin, expecting to blow it, I hear that all the time. I mean, if I make you feel better to say that you're going to blow it sometimes, okay, if that makes you feel better. But my goodness, don't make that your expectation. Let that be a stunning surprise. You are a slave to righteousness. You are a slave to God. That's what he says about you. It's not what Chucky's saying about you. It's what God says about you. And what if when we get tempted, we said, oh, that's not me. I'm a slave to righteousness in Christ. His enslavement to righteousness is my enslavement. So of course not. I'm not going to do that or think that or say that. In this thing that God's doing among us, it's not about trying to make people feel bad. God doesn't convict us to make us feel bad. God convicts us to remind us that he's made us good in Christ. And he's calling us forth to be and walk out our enslavement to the reign of Christ, because we're no longer under the reign of sin. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't think the iPad preaches as good as the Bible, but at least I can read it. Father, I pray that your word about who we are in Christ would overwhelm us, would blow our doors off, Lord. Would in a holy way slam us against the wall and reevaluate what we expect, how we view who we are, how we view our relationship to sin and our relationship as slaves to righteousness. It's our nature. It's just our nature to not sin, Lord. It's just our nature to walk in righteousness because we're in union with Christ. Oh, Lord, a leopard can't change its spots. And a human being can't change what they do, those of us who've become accustomed to sin. And I thank you, Lord, that in this season you're opening our eyes to grow unaccustomed to sin and accustomed to the reign of grace in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.